We just want to dedicate this time to you and your word, Lord. We ask that you would have the preeminence amongst us in our hearts and in our minds, Lord. I ask that your Holy Spirit would come and teach and move in every heart, Lord. We commit ourselves to you for your glory, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so we're going to look in the scripture, 1 Corinthians 11, 7. For a man indeed ought not to cover his head, for as much as he is the image and glory of God, but the woman is the glory of the man. Amen. May the Lord add the blessing to the reading of his word. You can be seated. As we spoke about before, Paul in 1 Corinthians 11, the issue is, of course, head coverings, but more than that, he's speaking about the order of the creation, order of the family, order of headship, and hair is just a reflection of that, of what creation order is. And again, people take 1 Corinthians 11, actually they take every scripture that has anything to do with man and woman, and they try to say it's a cultural impact, but you'll find over and over again, you know, that it isn't cultural in any case. It is based on creation order. The next scripture that we were going to read, it's the same thing. The order that God has for the home and family is based on the creation, the design, the nature that God made man and woman with. And, you know, one thing that people could sometimes reference is the sermon, Marriage and Divorce. And this is sort of just a brief side note. It's a topic in and of itself. But Brother Branham says Satan was Eve's designer. And when we hear that, we think that Satan was your initial response is he's trying to say that Satan was involved in the creation process of Eve. That would be a misunderstanding, because as you look further and look deeper into what Brother Branham's saying, he started working on her first. In other words, the creation happened. Then the devil, this is my means of deceiving and taking over the man. And then the prophet goes on to say, he's still in the process of designing, and he even connects it in a few different places to breeding this one to that one to produce a more beautiful woman to deceive by. And so without that proper biblical foundation, we have Brother Branham saying something that's actually against Scripture, which he obviously is not. But when we misapply what the prophet said, then we are perverting the understanding and revelation of the Scripture. It's very clear that God was the one that created the man, and God was the one that created the woman, and he did so with a specific design. It's just that he put that design there so that his glory could be made known, his attributes as Savior and Redeemer and Healer, etc., etc. And so that's, of course, a little bit of a side note, but part of the foundation of what we're talking about. 1 Timothy 2:9, in like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array. We spent a little time going into the details on this scripture. I'll just hit the high points, which is, it's God's purpose for a woman to dress modestly, and there is, in this verse, the word apparel is not a general term for clothing, just modest clothing, but it is actually a specific term. In fact, there's a number of words within this place that Paul is using, the only time that it's ever used in this context in the New Testament, in the Greek New Testament. And one of those words is apparel, which is the word, Greek word katastole. Stole would be a normal term that everyone would wear, a stole. That would just be the common tunic style clothing. It wouldn't signify how long it is or what it is. It's just like saying a t-shirt or a shirt, just in a general term, a shirt. But then he puts in that katastole, which speaks of the word letting down. So letting down stole, which speaks, of course, as a long dress. That's specifically what he's speaking of. And if you drill down further and look to a similar term in Hebrew, is the word kutanet. The word kutanet speaks of a garment that covers from the neck down to below the knees. In work situations, it would go just below the knee. In dress occasions, it would go all the way to the ground. This was their typical format that they used. This is speaking of a long skirt in 1 Timothy 2:9. Going into the rest of the details, Paul is not saying it's impossible for a woman to wear a gold necklace or pearl necklace or a ring or a bracelet. The point when he's speaking of this, or even that she can't braid her hair. There was a specific style that women used to show off their wealth, and they would take strands of pearls and gold and braid them into their hair, and it was a means of showing wealth. It's not a modest thing, it's an immodest thing, and Paul says, don't do it. Brother Branham even connects it with, you would consider her a lewd woman in that day and time. There's nothing wrong with braiding the hair, and we don't have the style, thank God, of braiding gold and pearls into the hair, although I wouldn't be surprised to see to see it coming back one of these days with these billionaire sex idols in the world. But it's speaking of dress, it's speaking of the way you dress be considered shamefacedness and sobriety. So shamefacedness speaks of being shy. Sobriety speaks of being moderate, not to the extremes. All right, let's keep moving. But which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. Why, Paul? For Adam was first formed, then Eve. Why else, Paul? And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing if they continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. Again, we spoke last time, it's not saying that childbearing is the means of salvation. The means of salvation is the same for men and women. Amen. It's through Christ alone. It's by grace, through faith. It has nothing to do with works, but works accompany true faith. Amen. When you have true faith is going to then produce the new birth, the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And then when you have that new nature, it's going to produce new works. And so Paul is drilling down and saying, specifically, a woman is ordained to different works than a man is ordained to. So her salvation is accompanied by childbearing, if you continue in faith and charity and holiness with sobriety. And when he's speaking of childbearing, he's not just saying only the act of childbearing, but he's speaking of that nurturing nature, that purpose, that plan. Childbearing, child nurturing, keeping the home, everything. It's like putting all the encompassing work of a woman into one simple phrase, which is her specific design. That's why Eve was made, was to bear children. I know that is not good feminism, but thank God we are fighting as hard as we can against the spirit of feminism. And we'll speak more about the origins of its release probably next time. I doubt we'll get to that this time. In the sermon, Marriage and Divorce. Notice the reason that she did this. She was not in the original creation. She's not in God's original creation. She's a byproduct. Therefore, at the beginning, as Jesus referred to it, she was not original creative being of God. She is a byproduct of a man. When Jesus referred to the beginning, remember, Adam was both masculine and feminine in the original creation, one. But then he was separated by a rib. Notice, but a byproduct. And notice, the only one of all God's creation, of every animal and anything else, she was the only one designed this way. Every other female was in the original creation. Every other female was in the original creation, but Eve was not in the original creation. See, that had to be made that way. We'll get to it after a while. Notice, in this creation that she was in, not in the original, but a byproduct. And in this creation, there is, now I don't want to hurt your feelings, but I want to tell you the truth. And you just sit still, you're doing nice. There's nothing designed to be so deceitful as a woman that's deceitful. There cannot be nothing else. There's nothing made to be that way. Also, there's nothing that can be so easily deceived as a woman. Now the fall proves this statement to be true, the fall in the beginning. She was not in the original creation, she was in Adam, but not in a female sex herself at the beginning. She was the byproduct made. Amen. We live in such an evil age that we all listen to marriage and divorce the first time, and it's like we're getting a sledgehammer taken to our brains. Let's be honest with ourselves, because the age is so deceiving. It shouldn't be that way. Keep listening to it over and over again so it's not like a sledgehammer, because the reason it's a sledgehammer is because perhaps our thinking is perverted. And that's what the need for the renewing of our mind is. No, Brother Branham is not denigrating a real godly woman. It's the tendencies, it's the direction, and it's the spirit of the age that he was living in. It's not a godly woman that would be living according to the word that he's speaking about. However, it is part of the original design, and it is part of the issue. Why do I say that? God's original design would have prevented the woman from being able to teach or preach or usurp authority over the man. It's very clear. Why is that? Because Adam was first formed. So Adam being first formed, he is in, as the prophet said, the original creation. Now, then God put Adam to sleep and took from his side a rib and made Eve. So she came out. Remember, how did that process go? What was God looking at? He said, it's not good for the man to be alone. I will make him an helpmeet. So Eve was designed for the purpose of fulfilling something for Adam. So Adam wasn't made for the woman. The woman was, the Eve was made for Adam. She's a secondary creation off of him. And the prophet reveals this mystery, that this is the reason why she could be more easily deceived, because she was not in the original creation. If you were in the original creation, you couldn't be deceived. Right? So because she's off of Adam, now she is subject, doesn't mean she's necessarily going to be, but that she's subject to being deceived. So part of the nature of how she is created results in the fact that a woman is more easily deceived. Right. This is not just a historical doctrine. Paul is saying, referring to the creation order, impacting on why a woman can't teach or usurp authority over a man. Amen. Again, we can sit here and feel uncomfortable about it, or we can just say, this is the word. We love it. Amen. Once a person knows who they truly are and knows what their position really is, it's not a burden to know what your position is. It's a joy to know what your position is. Now I can finally feel at rest to be what God really made me to be. And to understand the implications of the creation order. So again, Paul is basing his whole argument not on the fall. Well, the fall happened and therefore this happened. And this is what modern Christian feminists teach and preach. The headship of man is based on the fall and the curse only. And therefore, through Christ, all of that is waved off. Now a woman can preach. Now a woman can have authority over the man. Well, what in the world is Paul saying this to the New Testament church? He's writing this. Literally, he's actually writing it to Timothy to enact in Ephesus. Amen. So he's saying, this is what I want to happen, Timothy. And he doesn't say, because the Greco-Roman culture regards the man as the patriarch, you have to do this in the church. No. He says, Adam was first formed, and Eve was deceived. So he takes that historical fact and he brings it forward and places it in the church and says, this is why a woman can't teach or preach and why she must remain silent in the church. And again, the implications are not just for Eve. The implications are for all women to follow. Just like when Adam was cursed, it wasn't just a curse for Adam, it was for all men following. When Eve was cursed, it wasn't just for Eve, it was for all women following that. Now, let's just take some time to set this in order. A woman should not be in a position of teaching a man from the Bible. That's totally out of her order. That's totally out of position. She cannot be in a position of pastoring a church. She cannot be in a position of teaching Sunday school to men. She cannot be in a position where she's teaching doctrine to some man. The implication here is people will say this is only in the church setting. So out of the church setting, she can teach theology in a seminary. Well, seminary is a perversion anyways. The place that ministers are supposed to be trained are there in the local church from the existing ministry that's there to help them and to train them and raise them up by the power of the Holy Spirit. So there's not some separate office or separate place now, but the scripture does tell us in a few different places that there is a place for a woman to teach. Isn't that right? Let's look at the scripture. This is from the Jewish translation, from the Hebrew, Proverbs 1:8. Hear, my son, the instruction of thy father, and forsake not the teaching of thy mother. So a mother is to teach her family. Again, if we remember from before, this is not to be, remember, it says the instruction of thy father and the teaching of thy mother. So it's not taking the duty of teaching the family and throwing it only onto mother. Ephesians 6:4 specifically says, fathers, provoke not your children unto wrath, but raise them up in the instruction and discipline of the Lord. So it is first and foremost the father's purview to be sure that he is teaching his family and disciplining his family. The mother is then the helper in this vision. The father can't simply say, I abdicate my spot. Here, you do it. That's not the scriptural intention. He is supposed to be the head and the leader of this process, but his wife is there also to instruct the children. And so we can take from this and understand that in a church setting, a mature sister could instruct children in a Sunday school class as well. Titus 2:3-5, I only bring that up just to refer to it, speaks of the aged women that she should teach. Teach who? The men? No. That's usurping the authority, and she's out of position when she does that. The aged women or the older women should teach the younger women what? Theology? Doctrine? No. Christian living. Household duties. How to love your husbands, how to be sober, how to love your children, etc., etc. Again, so it's not that a woman is so stupid she can't teach. That's not what Paul is bringing, and that's not what Paul is teaching. But it's also clear that, that the woman shouldn't try to teach a man. Even when Peter says when it's a situation where the wife is a believer and the husband is an unbeliever, he says that wives should, without the word, win their husbands using her conduct and character and how she lives as a believer. Amen. All right. Continue on and let's look at some quotes from Brother Branham regarding these things. And when you see a woman acting like a man, now again, I'm just going to state this general principle, is when Brother Branham was speaking, it was not only was the bride in an infant stage or in a seed phase of the true bride being planted, but also the prophetic word that was coming forth, things that he was rebuking are child's play compared to what we're dealing with. If you were back there, you would probably think, Brother Branham, why are you getting so carried away? It's not that bad. But he wasn't speaking just about that time. He was speaking prophetically of what was to come. And so when you can see that, now bring this, what he's speaking, and you could see that it applies so perfectly to our age. In fact, it applies so well that when we read it, we go, oof. Because we're literally swimming in a cesspool of feminism. Amen. That's the bottomless pit that has been that was opened up in World War I, and that's produced this very thing. The very things that were produced as soon as the bottomless pit were opened up, as we saw in the fifth trumpet, it speaks about hair. They had these locusts with hair like women that would haunt the women. Well, what did that haunting produce? We see it today. The perversion upon women. So he says, when you see a woman acting like a man, she's got out of her place, you see, in the beginning. All right, I think it's a shame that women has lost their dainty, feminine spirit. It's a disgrace, I tell you it is. You know, I'm going to say this. Now, I'm not talking about you women here, but of course, if it hurts, it just does. But look at me, let me ask you something. It used to be that women was so feminist till a man would go to talking to them and they'd blush. What is blushing anyhow? I haven't seen it in so long, I wouldn't even know what it was if some woman blushed. They haven't got any of that dignity anymore. All that their fine feminist spirit. They'll wear clothes like a man, cut their hair like a man, smoke like a man, drink like a man, cuss like a man, vote like a man, work like a man. So become rough, burly, oh my, that shows where you've got to. That's exactly that ladylike. You don't see her much more. She's a hard person to find. Isn't that right? Yes, that's the truth. So a woman is not supposed to stand up and act like a man, big and burly, because she's dainty. Amen. Amen. Sisters, I just want to say this. The spirit of the age can come in, and it can pervert the spirit. But I just want to encourage you, that doesn't have to be what the prophet said can be in you. You could say, Lord, maybe I'm lacking. Create this spirit in me, and God can do it. Amen. Amen. It's the same application of wisdom. How many of you lack wisdom in certain situations? All of us. And he said, God tells us, if any of you lack wisdom, ask. Ask in faith. God will provide it. God will supply it. The same goes with anything that you're lacking. If you're lacking humility, if you're lacking sincerity, if you're lacking that feminine spirit, ask God. Ask God to bring it to you. 1 Timothy 5, verse 14. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house, give none occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. Now, America, Europe, Africa, everywhere we go, we find this same spirit going around the world, and that is that there is not a vision to teach this specific scripture to young people, to young sisters. What is it? Everywhere they want to go out and get an education and a university and have a degree. Now, again, maybe that's something that God has called someone to, but Brother Branham presents that more as an exception to the rule rather than the rule. Amen. Because there are circumstances and situations where maybe a husband is sick, disabled, etc., or you feel you could also say that's the situation that Brother Branham brings up himself. Or you could say perhaps there's a situation where she feels a calling to be single her whole life. Maybe that's the case. And she would go and pursue something that would be a womanly type career. However, that's, again, a great exception to the rule. And really, as fathers and in the church, we should be pointing people not to the exception, but to the scripture. And I'm just going to boldly say this from what I see in being a missionary going around the world, is this is what we've turned the scripture into. I will therefore that the younger women go to university, get a career, and perhaps if it should might happen, can get married and subtract all of that stuff. That's not what it says. Amen. I will therefore that the younger women marry, bear children, guide the house. Amen. Why, Paul? Because it gives an occasion to the adversary to speak reproachfully. In the other place that we'll read, probably not this time, but next time, in Titus 2, it says, if a woman wouldn't have this vision and direction for her life, that it would be a blasphemy against the word of God. And so you could say, well, our culture demands that we do this and this. Or all the boys are a bunch of sissies and they're not growing up and being men. They just sit around and play video games and don't learn how to take responsibility. Therefore, a woman should do this. Well, that's another problem. Fathers, what in the world are you doing? You're supposed to teach your sons to take responsibility. Part of being a man is being responsible, having a job, knowing how to be a provider. The scripture says nothing about being really good at video games. And I can go into it. It's feminizing men. Because why? You're instead of expressing your manliness in this dimension, you're expressing it only in the fourth dimension. And when you express manliness only in the fourth dimension, it turns you into a sissy. I love you. I was a young man once, believe it or not, too. I played video games, too. But I also played sports, and I also got out and into the world. The world was a very different place back then. But video games are not doing you any favors. It would be better for you to forget about video games and go chop some wood. Learn responsibility. And so as the prophet said, it's a trickle-up syndrome. You say it's juvenile delinquency. Well, no. It's parent delinquency. Well, no, it's pulpit delinquency. So there's somewhere there's a disconnect from here to here. And so I'm not here to rebuke anybody specifically. That's not in my heart. I have no one in mind. This is a general problem that we see around the world. It's the spirit of the age. But I'll tell you this, that it won't change until father and mothers change the vision of their children. And so, again, there's no scripture that says a father can abdicate his authority and a pastor has to take its place. The father must take responsibility for leading his family. Actually, if you understand it correctly, the truest form of government in the world is not the federal government in Washington, D.C., neither is it our governor in wherever the heck he is. Neither is it the mayor. Many times those things are perverted. What's the truest form of government? It's the family. It's the father. He's a ruler. He's the lord of his family. And if he doesn't take that authority, the family is going to suffer. He must understand his authority to lead his sons and say, stop being a sissy boy. Stop being a little mama's boy. It's time to come out. It's time to come out from her apron strings and be a man. It's time to tell the girls to say, your purpose in life is to be a mother, to be a wife, to raise children, and to be the best that you can be at that, whether you're a boy or a girl. For a boy, you need to develop a work ethic. Amen. That you work hard, that you're willing to sweat, that you're really willing to use your body to provide for a family. As a woman, and we're training our daughters, we have to be willing to train them in the direction that they're supposed to go. There's no scripture about government school and university. Did you know that? But there is a scripture about parents instructing their children in the way that they should go. So the first duty and responsibility of education and training and teaching is not the church, it's not the pastor, it's mom and dad. It's not the government schools, it's not the corporate government system, it's not the universities, it's mom and dad. And we miss this, and we think because I grew up in America or Africa or wherever it is, and this system of government schools is in place, this is how we must do. No, it isn't. I know you probably think I'm a fanatic, But I'm just pointing you to the responsibility of the word. The rest, you find the leadership of the Holy Spirit, but I'm pointing you to the responsibility of the word. Amen. Let's pray. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for this glorious message, Lord. Amen. So many things as we dig deeper and deeper, we see the prophetic reality of it, Lord, and how you've taught us and shown us how to order our lives and our families, Lord. I pray that you'd give to each one of us wisdom, yeah, revelation, and understanding, Lord, not just about doctrine, but about our specifically about our lives and how to live and to know the mystery of your will for us as an individual. Lord, we commit our time to you, commit the worship and the preaching of the word to you. May you be glorified in our midst, Lord. We ask it in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. God bless you.